You know, many people find it difficult to comprehend that a big old God that created everything in the universe, that can be everywhere, that's all-knowing, big, powerful God, can actually stop and pay attention to and care about each and every one of us. Can you imagine that? A big old God that has all of that, that can be everywhere, that created everything, can stop and care about you, can stop and care about me. It's like us caring about each individual or just one individual ant on this planet. Can you imagine? You know how many ants there are? But you could know a single ant by name and care about where it goes to the tree, to the plant, to get the leaf, to go all the way back and start all over again, and to actually stop and have that big of a sphere. And yet, he cares about me. That's a big deal. Some people have a hard time grasping that. Amen?
Amen.
Here's the deal, though, today. Here's what we want to deal with today. First, if you can grasp that, the fact that the enormity of God, the magnificence of God, and the fact that he can stop and focus on each and every one of us. God expects us, the little ants, to also pay attention to and care about him. I wanted that song as personal because it is. And what we need to get out of this today, if we don't already have it, is we need to understand that to God and for God, it is personal. Now, we need to feel that way. But what we need to understand today is if you can get to that place, to where you take it personally, you need to know today. And if you already know, God bless you. But otherwise, each one teach one then, if you already know. Teach somebody else that doesn't know that God takes it personally. But for you to believe that, you've got to believe that the big old God is as big as he really is, and that he can stop and care about your wants, your needs, but also he wants you to care about his wants. Do you care enough about what he wants? We have relationships, and in the beginning of those relationships, what happens? We want to know, we're talking at 11 o'clock at night and midnight, we're listening to every little thing, all the sweet, so that we can, without prompting, do the thing that she likes the most. So that you can do the things that you know he likes the most. Now, fast forward to later in the relationship. What do? We know them better then than we did in the beginning. So we know what they like, but how likely are we to do those things? We know their buttons. How likely are we to push those buttons as the relationship evolves? Amen?
Amen.
God wants us to care about him. Isn't that something? He created everything. He's so powerful. He can blink an eye and give us a church like this. He can erase debt. He can cure you just like that. He doesn't even need the doctors if he doesn't want to. And he actually cares about us caring about him. Almost sad that he has to ask, that he has to beg, that he has to hope, that he has to wait for us to realize that the relationship matters that much. Just think about it. But he set up that dynamic. He created us in his own image. He gave us the ability to give him what it is that he wanted. But he didn't make us give him what it is that he wanted. God takes his relationship with us very seriously. And he takes our worship personally. I want you to hear that. He takes our worship of him personally. He takes our walk, which is a manifestation of our worship. It's not just worship service. You worship him with your life. He takes it personally. What you do and don't do, he takes it personally. He takes our worship personally. He also takes our sin and rejection of him personally. So if you have any sin in your life that you know you're doing, that you shouldn't be doing, you need to know today. He takes it personally. If we're rejecting him, he takes it what? Personally. Now, each one of us has a sinful nature. We have this thing inside of us that wants to do what we're not supposed to do. We have this thing inside of us that wants to rebel and not do the things that we're supposed to do. But here's the thing. Just because you have a sinful nature doesn't mean you have to do all the sins that you do. There's some sins that your nature has nothing to do with it. Your choices are everything. There are some things that we knowingly do that we know we should not do. There are some things we know we should do and we consciously rebel and fail to do it. You need to know today that it matters to God. If you already know it, then be prepared to teach it, because somebody needs to know that their choices matter to God. It is relationship. It's not a business transaction. It's relationship. And God wants us to know that today. Amen? Amen? Now I want you to pair off. Find a neighbor. Because we need to get this down inside of us. Find a neighbor. And I want you to tell that neighbor, it's personal. Tell them it's personal. Now tell them, you matter to God. Now tell them, God wants to matter to you. It's personal. You matter to God. And God wants to matter to you. Now tell them, it's about relationship. Amen, amen, amen. Those four things. It's personal. You matter to God. God wants to matter to you. It's about relationship. Can we get that? Let that sink in. It's personal. He's not just some distant God that doesn't care. Well, you're going to see when we get to the text, you're going to see that. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is that ancient one, ancient of days. He is the one that said all the stuff that we see in Genesis chapter 1, 2, 3, and 4. He is that one. He's the one that can blink an eye and create anything. He can be anywhere. He knows all. He's seen the book already. And yet, it's personal. He wants you to actually care about him. He's made himself vulnerable. That big God has made himself vulnerable. And he's put himself in a position to need us, to want us. Little old you, little old me, we matter to him. He wants to matter to us. It's about relationship. You ever have a woman that you want, Jason? And you couldn't seem to get her? How far will you go? What would you do? Okay. Because you want them what? To want you. It's already clear that you want them, but you need them to wake up one day wanting you. God wants us to wake up one day wanting him. Running through walls to get to him, jumping over hurdles to get to him, surmounting mountains to get to him. He wants us to care about him. This is the God of the universe now. He wants us to care about him. If that's our mindset, those little things, now we understand how much they matter. The good things and the bad things. That person that you wanted so bad, Jason. A year from now, if you find yourself being tempted to do something you shouldn't be doing that you know would hurt her, you better think about it. Think about when you were trying to pursue her. Think about it. The Word's going to talk to us today. Amen? Amen. Amen. It's about relationship. Let's go to our text. We'll find it in the book of Judges. I was so surprised that we're still in Judges. So surprised. Judges chapter 10. Shouldn't take you too much time to find it because your Bibles are probably already marked at Judges chapter 6. And what we find here in Judges chapter 10 is we're several generations beyond Gideon. And there have been multiple cycles, somebody say cycles. Cycles of sin, punishment, repentance, and salvation. And what comes after that? Sin, punishment, repentance, and deliverance. And what comes after that? Sin. Multiple cycles, all triggered by a series of events. And as we think this through, what I want you to do, without humanizing God, now that's not what we're doing here today. Remember, we were created in His image. So when we think about humanizing God, no, He gave us those traits. We didn't give them to Him. I want you to think about a human relationship so that it can sink in, so that you can relate as we go through this. We had multiple cycles over and over again of the children of Israel after having been delivered. They took the relationship for granted. Step number one. You ever done that in your life? You ever pursued a relationship? Oh, I want you, baby, baby, please, baby, baby, please. Only to get baby, baby. And then you get comfortable and you take the relationship for granted. Ever happened to you? And that's followed by you start doing stuff that you know hurt them. Or withhold things that you know causes hurt. And it could be a whole lot of things. But it starts out by you get delivered, you got what you needed, you got what you wanted, that's great, and then you start taking it for granted. And then you start doing stuff and you end up in an argument or a conversation that ends up in an argument, and you say things that you didn't see coming, and they say things that you didn't see coming, and then the hurts build up, and so you can't even have a conversation without the hurts getting in the way. And then the rest of the cycle comes when they finally completely abandon the relationship. And in a human sense, you abandon it emotionally first. And it makes those hurtful things that you say and do easier to do. You get to a point to where you don't even care. Amen? And so this is what we see when we get to Judges chapter 10. We've gone through multiple cycles. And essentially, as you hear these descriptions, doesn't it sound like a relationship gone wrong? Let's go to chapter 10, verse 6. That's where we'll find our text. That's where we'll begin it. Chapter 10, verse 6. Again, we are several generations beyond Gideon. We've gone through multiple cycles of taking for granted God and then doing stuff that we know makes him upset and unhappy, and then finally abandoning God. Now let's look at verse 6 and let's read it together. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam and Ashtaroth and the gods of Syria, and the gods of Sidon, and the gods of Moab, and the gods of the children of Ammon, and the gods of the Philistines, and forsook the Lord and served him not. Now, as we look at this, I want to go back to the beginning and say, and the children of Israel did what?
Evil.
Evil what?
Again.
Again. So this wasn't the first time. They'd already done evil. The cycle had gone back and forth and back and forth and back and round and round and round and round. But they had done evil again. I want you to relate it back to your human relationships. Now, you've done some stuff. And if you get to do evil to that person again, that means they took you back after you've done the evil before. After you said the mean thing, after you've done the unreasonable thing, they're actually, you're still there to matter. So they've done evil again in the sight of the Lord. I want you to understand something. This does not mean, well, they've done evil according to God's principles. They've done evil according to what God's opinion is. This means in the sight, the visible eyesight of God, they've done evil again blatantly. You start out tipping around, hiding it. And you get to a point to where, yo, well, we just got an open relationship. Ain't nothing open about it. You get to the point to where it's blatant. You get to the point to where you're sitting there in the same place with your wife and you're texting her. Blatant. So the children of Israel had done evil again, blatantly, in the sight of God. Now, isn't that something? They've done evil again, just blatantly. Multiple cycles of this, and now they've done it again, right in front of his face. They'd gotten to the point to where they didn't need to hide it. They'd gotten to the point to where they weren't embarrassed about it. They weren't apologizing for it. They didn't even feel bad about it. This is where they had gotten. Amen? You ever seen anything like that? You ever been involved in anything like that? You ever got to the point to where somebody was in a relationship with you and it seemed like they just didn't care anymore? So what is it that they were doing? The Bible says that they served Balaam. That means all that idol stuff. And then they get specific, Ashtaroth, and the gods of Syria, and the gods of Sidon. Sidon is that place actually where Jezebel came from. It's also written in the New Testament. You'll see it in the Old Testament, it's Zidon. You'll see it, Sidon, Tyre and Sidon. That sound familiar? It's right there on the west coast of what we now call Israel in the northern section, and that's where Jezebel came from. Her father was a priest of Tyre and Sidon, and he taught that ugly religion. And Moab, we know about that, and the gods of the children of Ammon and the Philistines. What's the point? All, if you had a map, these are just all the people around them. They were more influenced by the people around them than they influenced the people around them. And so they were worshiping all of these various gods. Here's what I want you to understand about this. And I want you to think about human relationships. So they're going and they're worshiping all these gods. They've already taken for granted God. They've already started doing things that they know hurt God. And now they've completely abandoned God and they're worshiping all these other gods. They're chasing all these other women. They're listening to all these other men. Would it be surprising to you if I told you they didn't really love those other gods? Does that sound familiar? Oh, I'm giving all the attention to them. I'm spending all my time with them. I'm abandoning our relationship, but I don't love her. Does that sound familiar? Oh, but I don't love her. They actually didn't love these other gods. They love what they got out of the deal, though. Here's what they got out of the deal. For one thing, the bottom line, by the way, is it met their fleshly needs, okay? I don't really love her, but she meets my fleshly needs. I don't really love her, but she makes me feel like a big old man, and you don't do that anymore. I don't really love her, but we can be spontaneous, and with you, we can't be spontaneous anymore. I don't really love her, but she says nice things about me, and you don't say those things anymore. I don't really love her, but when I give her some money, she's all, oh, she's just giggly, or she just loves it. And you have all the money, and you can dip into it anytime you want, and you take it for granted now. And I work hard for this money. I don't really love her, But she does things for me. So they could see these gods, and they like seeing their God. When it came to the true and living God, they had to be separated from him. And the priests ministered unto him. And so they could not see him, even though they knew that he existed. They preferred a God that they could see. They preferred a God that they could touch. Whereas the God of Israel, you could not see. And you could not lay your hands on him. They preferred a God that you could make a miniature of him and put him in your pocket. And have him wherever you go. Like the Catholics have all their little things. They preferred a God that you could have everywhere you are. Wouldn't you want God to be with you everywhere you go? Didn't we talk about last week that God is with you? But human beings feel more confident about that if they've got a God in their pocket. Literally. Here's the other thing about those gods. If you need healing, we're just going to put people out. Who do you go to? Okay. And if the doctors can't solve it, who do you go to?
Internet.
And if the internet doesn't solve it for you, who do you go to? The answer is God. And if you have financial troubles, you haven't figured that out, and the internet ain't solved that, who do you go to? God. If you need guidance, you want to make the right decision in your life, who do you go to? God. If it hasn't rained in a long time and you know it needs to rain and we're having droughts, who do you ask to make it rain? God. If you've gotten into trouble and you've done that thing one last time and now you think that she's not going to keep you, who do you go to? God. What happened with these idol gods is that there was a god of nature, a god of rain, a god of this, and a god of that. What they liked about it is that they could make sure that as long as they worship this god, they were going to have that thing that they wanted, because that's what that god was for. Vending machine god. I push that button, I'm supposed to get that thing. I like worshiping that kind of God. Goes wherever I go. I can look at it. I can touch it. And it does exactly what the vending machine button says. That's why I like her. Because I say what I want and it happens. With you, it don't happen like that. You think you know me. You think you know what's best. So you do it when you want to do it. You do it when it's time to do it. I like the one I push the button. That's all he's there for. And so I've got it covered. They didn't love these gods, but they liked that they got out of the deal. Now, we know that these gods can't speak. They can't defend themselves. And Elijah proved that they were no match for the God of the universe. But it did not stop them from post-miracle going right back to their own vomit. So they didn't love these gods. But they liked the fact that they loved the fact that they could see those gods, they could touch those gods, and they can call on those specific gods. If I got a problem, there's a God for it. Now, it doesn't make any sense, because why don't you have one-stop shopping? Why not have one God that does everything? Instead, they actually preferred to have individual gods for the individual things. And then lastly, these other religions often involved, remember, we're mostly talking about men that are controlling things, it involved women, beautiful women, and intimate relationships with those beautiful women. Who wouldn't want that religion? You get to see it, you get to touch it, you get to take it everywhere you go, you get to push the button, it's a vending machine, I need a little of this, I need a little of that, I need this, I need that now, all right, this is what you're supposed to do, this is what you were created for, And in order to prove that I'm devoted, I get to go into a temple and have sex with a temple prostitute. I mean, who wouldn't want that religion? Well, I'm sorry, correction. What guy wouldn't want that religion? Because the women didn't get to have it like that. So they didn't love these gods. So when they took for granted the relationship with the true God, and when they started doing stuff that they knew they shouldn't do, and then they abandoned God, turned their back on God, because they got it so good now. It's not because they love the other stuff. They love what they got out of the deal. Does that sound like some relationships you've heard about? Just heard about, not yours, of course. You've never been that guy. You've never been that woman. Amen? So they always started out serving both gods, just so that you know. Oh, I serve the true and living God. I just also have, by the way, my ace in the hole. Mm-hmm. I come home to her. What's the problem? I bring the money home to her. Who cares if I stop by, you know, with the boys, I tell her. I'm not with the boys, though. And eventually she texts one of my boys that she also knows that I said I was supposed to be with, and I'm not with him. Now the jig is up. So it starts out, I worship at the temple, but I also have my little idol god. I still also have my little grove over here. I also have my statue of Ashtaroth here. What's the big deal? I go to temple. What's the big deal? I worship God. What's the big deal? I give my tithes. What's the big deal? That's how it starts. Eventually, they brought the idol worship into the temple grounds, onto the temple grounds. So now, oh, I'm worshiping God, but I'm bringing her up into the house now. And I'm going to give her a nice room in the house. And my wife, well, you sleep in the master bedroom, baby. What's the problem? What's the problem? You sleep in the master. You're the top woman here. But I'm not the only woman here. I should be the only woman here. And then eventually, they would completely abandon God. And even in the temple, they're only worshiping Balaam. Think about it now. So she's still in the master bedroom, but he don't sleep in the master bedroom anymore. Is she supposed to be happy about this? Are you following me? You're worshiping God, but you're worshiping stuff too. You're worshiping God, but you're doing things your own way too. Finally, you bring that stuff home. And those things start to occupy time that's supposed to be God's. And then eventually, you're just focusing on those things because God hasn't left you yet. Is God supposed to like that? He's telling us or reminding us today, it's personal, it matters, and I have feelings. Did you know that God has feelings? If you make him into some big robotic god, you won't understand him. He made you in his image. You have feelings, you have emotions, you make choices, you have sovereignty over your decisions. Guess what? He made you that way for a reason. So when you don't choose him, when you choose to need someone or something else to come through for you, it hurts his feelings. Because he wants to and he will come through for you. All you got to do is hang on in there. Because he will. So it's personal. It's about relationship. He should matter to us. And he's just saying, please, please, baby, baby, please. I want to be that one. Imagine the God of the universe being that vulnerable with each one of us and us collectively. Imagine that. If you can't, I hope you're getting this. And once you get it, somebody needs you to teach them this. Somebody needs to know this characteristic and this aspect of the character of God. Somebody walking around being Christian doesn't realize that God is hurt by what they do. It's not just wrong. It's not just a legalistically wrong thing to do. The God of the universe is hurt by what we do. Are you hearing me? Amen. So we stop serving God altogether in this instance. They stop serving God altogether. That's the way the cycles went. It starts out, I got this covered, but I also got my ace in the hole. That is a slippery slope. Ain't no ace in a hole. You dance with the one that brought you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Let's look at verses 7 through 9. Now, because now we're going to get to see God's reaction. They've done this thing, what? Yet again. Right in front of his face, not even trying to care anymore, not even trying to apologize anymore, not even trying to hide it anymore, and the God of the universe is getting punked like that, getting treated that way. And then the anger of the Lord was what? Hot. You ever been hot? Against Israel. And he sold them into the hands of the Philistines and into the hands of the children of Ammon. Does it seem like he's upset? Does it seem like he cares? Does it seem like he's been holding back? On this cycle, at least. And that year, they vexed and oppressed the children of Israel. Now things are getting rough. 18 years, all the children of Israel that were on the other side of the Jordan in the land of the Amorites, which is in Gilead. So this thing was isolated for the moment, the punishment. Moreover, the children of Ammon passed over the Jordan. So they're on the east side of the Jordan, over there where Manasseh was and Gad, and they're moving over to the west side of the Jordan where the rest of them jokers are to fight against Judah. Uh-oh, now you're getting down there to an important place. That's where the temple is. And against Benjamin and the house of Ephraim. So now you're down there in the southern portion of Israel, but on the west side of the Jordan. Now you're getting down to some serious stuff. That's where the capital is, if you will. Amen? Amen. So that Israel was sore distressed. So is it clear that God didn't like what they had done? Does he make it clear? Does it look like he's had enough? Sick and tired of being sick and tired of being, you know, the second one, the other one. Sick and tired of being taken for granted, sick and tired of being abused, sick and tired of having you bring that mess up in his house. Sick and tired of you taking advantage of the food he put into your mouth and the air he put into your lungs and the prosperity he allowed you to have and for you to treat him like that up in his own house. Does it look like he's sick and tired? And so they start feeling the pain. And so when they felt the pain bad enough and long enough, what do you think they did? You stop cooking for him. You stop cleaning for him. You start tipping out a little bit. You don't come home like you always did. You stop your routine. You start sprucing yourself up a little bit. You start getting some attention somewhere else. And now what does he do? Please, baby, 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 please. I can go back to that. They started begging out, Lord, please help us. Oh, my God. We took you for granted. We went off and served them other gods while we dipped with you, and we did both of them. And then we said, oh, we got it good. We're just going to walk on up. We did things that we know would hurt you, and we treated people badly. We abused our power. The ministry wasn't done right. And then we just walked away because we got it like that. But now we feel the pain, the resulting pain of that. I'm sorry. They became repentant. All of a sudden they were sorry. They even changed their ways. Now, you had anybody that's done somebody wrong and they finally feeling the pain of it and uh-oh, they're now in trouble. They actually can change their ways. It could be a drug addict. It could be an alcoholic or just an abuser, or just somebody that's not good at relationships. Finally, they're sorry. Let's look at verse 10. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, saying what? Read it for me. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, that sounds like it all blends in, but it doesn't. This is letting you know that they knew exactly what they were doing. There are two sins here. There are two wrongs here. To stop serving God and to serve Balaam. Two separate things. It's one thing to stop doing what you should do in your current real relationship. It's a whole other thing to give yourself to someone else. They knew that they had done both. But now all of a sudden they're sorry, baby, baby, please, please, baby, baby, please. Now, if you were in a relationship like that, and somebody did that to you again and again and again and again, and you finally got tired and you put them out of your house. Can you picture it? Can you picture it? You're sick and tired of being sick and tired? Have you ever gotten sick and tired of being sick and tired? I want you to picture that somebody's been treating you that way. And you finally got sick and tired and you put them out. And now they're at the door. What are you going to do? Sister Carrie, what are you going to do? Brother Marcellus loses his mind and starts doing these crazy things, and you finally get sick and tired and the little extra room, somebody else is up in that extra room and you somehow put up with that. I don't know why. I don't know how. You need some self-esteem training. I don't know why you put up with that. Girl, you should not put up with that. Get rid of him. And now he's back. Please, baby, baby, please. He has to knock because you took the key. You changed the locks. Yeah. What are you going to do? He's back. What are you going to do? He knows the right words to say. Oh, he knows how to tug on those heartstrings. What are you going to do? He knows. Oh, he's even telling you chapter and verse what he did wrong. You know he's repentant. You know he's sorry. Oh, let me list my wrongs. So you know I'm admitting to my wrong. I'm not running from it. I'm going to tell you I did this, and then I did that, and I shouldn't have done this, and I'm sorry for that. All the stuff you wanted to hear up front. Oh, but he can bring it. He's got game, especially when it comes to you. He knows exactly what you need to hear. He's on the other side of the door. He has no key. But you can hear him. You put him out because you were sick and tired, because you came second, and then you came last, and then he didn't care about you no more. He flaunted all that stuff in your face again and again until you got sick and tired. And now he's back. Pastor Trina, what would you do? What would you do? Brother Jason, what would you do? She's done all this stuff, dogged you out, brought your manhood down, going out there, letting the baby know, call somebody else daddy. Woo! Oh, but she's back. What you gonna do? What you gonna do? Do you get the picture now? So now let's look at verse 11. And the Lord said to the children of Israel, didn't I deliver you from the Egyptians and from the Amorites and from the children of Ammon and from the Philistines and the Zidonians also and the Amalekites and the Mennonites did oppress you, and you cried to me, and I delivered you out of their hand. We'll just stop right there. So in other words, the door ain't open. There's still no key, but you're going to give them the riot act from the other side of the door. Oh, baby, baby, please, but I did all these things wrong. I know exactly what I did wrong. I'm so sorry. Well, let me just remind you what I did for you, what you were missing, brother. I know it hurts so bad because you've been gone for so long and now you're missing what you had. Let me just remind you, just in case you hadn't realized that before you came with the baby, baby, please, let me remind you of what you're missing while you're on the other side of that door. Let me remind you that I washed your clothes and ironed them. Now, nobody irons these days. I know that. Imagine you did. And then he did all that. Ha! Imagine you did iron his underwear like his mama used to. And he did all that. And now he's back.
Yet
ye have forsaken me. Should you even give him the time of day? Here's the deal. You spending your time because he's on the other side. You should be calling the police. Instead, now he's got you engaged in conversation. He's got you riled up telling him all the stuff you always wanted to say. Mm-hmm. I did all of that. And yet you have forsaken me and served other gods. What does it say after that? I just need you to know that's your God. He had delivered them all those times and they did it again, blatantly. He was sick and tired of being sick and tired, and they got tired of being hurt from the punishment and their baby, baby pleasing. And you did it one too many times. Your God. This is a characteristic you need to know. This is the God of the universe speaking. And he says to them, I will deliver you no more. God does have some lines he doesn't want you to cross. God does have some limits. Amen?
Amen.
And what does he say after that? Ooh, I like this. Now, Carrie, now he's come back. He's done all this wrong. Baby, baby, please, baby, please. Now, you're crazy enough to give him the riot act, to actually give him the time of day, to actually spend your time telling him what you want him to hear because you need your words out. That's what it really came down to. You needed the words out. He says, go cry to those other gods which ye have chosen. So you tell him, Carrie, you go back to her. She was so great. She was so good. She had all the things. She did all the things I wouldn't do. She did them the way that I wouldn't do them. She gave you the way you like. Yeah, okay, go bring them back to her. I use those examples to make it real for you, but this is your God talking. Actually said, I ain't saving you no more, and you go back and have them take care of your needs. Your God said this. Go and cry unto the gods which ye have chosen, and let them deliver you in the time of your tribulation. Is this Bible? The Yahweh God said, not this time. No, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. You stay on the other side of that door. Go talk to her. No, but baby, please. Go talk to her. Talk to the hand. This is your God. This isn't to humanize him, to bring him down. This is he gave us this characteristic. Now, you add in sin and we all messed up. But without sin, he made us like him so he can have a real relationship. This is terrible, but this is made possible by relationship. You don't get here without relationship. He wants it to be relationship. You can hurt him like this. We can hurt him like this. That's the God that we have. So when we do wrong, it's just like the wrong we just been describing. You're not just sleeping with the wrong person, the person you ain't supposed to. Well, what's that got to do with God? Well, God doesn't want you to do that. That sin hurts him, but you do it anyway because you like what you get out of the deal. You shouldn't be with her. You shouldn't be with him. You shouldn't be doing that. You shouldn't be using your money that way. You shouldn't be lying. You shouldn't be cheating. You shouldn't be doing stuff like that. But it matters to God. It's personal. It hurts him. He just needs you to know. Amen? So they beg and they repent. If change their ways, Carrie, what are you going to do? She doesn't know. Pastor Trina, what are you going to do? Pastor Trina says no. She's done. So let me just tell you what God did. Because they were truly repentant, because they knew what they had done wrong, God couldn't stand watching them suffer any longer. Oof. And he delivers them. Ah! Oh! He took them back! Ooh! Now, he took them back now. Carrie, you let him back in. And he does it again. Jason, you took her back. You even got to the point where you saw her as much as you could, like you saw her when you were pursuing her in the first place. You let her back in. You actually allowed yourself to be vulnerable. And she did it again. How do you feel about that? Brother Marcellus, Sister Carrie starts listening to all these people. Oh, you're so cute. Oh, you're so smart. And she started acting on all that, those little compliments. Because you don't compliment her enough, or you don't compliment her the same. And she got a little, you know, she got her, I got my self-esteem. And you found out that she was doing something she wasn't supposed to. You said, that's it. I can't take it. You're out of here. But she's back. Oh, but please, 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 please. You can't stand watching her suffer. So you take her back. And then somebody else whispers in her ear, oh, you're so cute. Oh, you're so lovely. You're so smart. And she does it again. What do you think of that? So, Carrie, you take him back again. Now, if you're God, here's what you do. You say, you know what? Instead of saying, I'm just going to put you out forever. That's it. It is over. Instead, you say, you know what? you so jacked up, you ain't gonna never be right. I need to solve this once and for all. So God doesn't just take them back. He gives his own son. He gives his own life, essentially, to save them for good, forever. If you were the wrong one, and you baby, please, and you got taken back, and you did it again, and she or he sacrificed so that you could be in for good. So even when you do trip up, ain't gonna be no, you should have done this, you should have done that. You actually good. You're in the house for good, despite your dirty, nasty ways. So now you're in the house. How would you act? Would you take for granted? Would you take advantage of that goodness? Or would you take that opportunity to actually show her, to actually show him that you're grateful, that you're changed, that you may make some mistakes because you're human, but you're not going to go around making those mistakes knowingly. You're not going to knowingly do what you should not do. You're not going to knowingly and intentionally hold back what you should be giving. So how will we live our lives with this knowledge? Because this is the relationship that God has with his people. How will we treat God? How will we represent God? Knowing now that this relationship thing is real and it's personal to God. We needed to know today for ourselves. And for somebody else that needs to hear each one teach one, God takes his relationship with us that personally.